the cold.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Science Advisory Board, and I'll speak for them if it's okay, we're pleased with the progress that was being made on the basic science side, and that there does appear to be some collaborations between the projects and even an interest in collaborating with the more clinical projects. So I was pleased with the outcome. The PowerPoint presentations, I believe, are on the web at the CFAS site behind the firewall. And if not, they should be there shortly. Jennifer, I haven't seen her in a week, so she's been at the Winter Brain Conference. So I'm not sure what she managed to get up there before she left or not.
Hi, this is Jill. They're on their way. We're missing a couple, and so we're sending them all as a package because they charge us kind of interestingly with the website. So we're going to wait and send them all at once.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's just a couple that we have to find.
Yeah, I think one of them's mine.
one of them's yours and one of them's mine. We have to add those, but that's it.
All right. Someone just joined us.
Hi, Ed. It's Dan.
Hey, Dan. In terms of the clinical projects, just a quick update. I think I've been spending a reasonable amount of time on them since the meeting and trying to develop timelines and questions that are going to be try to be answered in the next month or two on a cross-site, multiple-site, interdisciplinary questions. The database was supposed to be froze yesterday, but it's going to be froze as of the end of this week because there was some dysmorphology data that still had to be put in. And then people will start, from the clinical side anyway, addressing those questions. And that's the points that need to be updated on there. Okay, so I guess we can go through and hear any problems, concerns, or updates on each of the projects. Someone else just joined us.
Hey, Fong's here.
Hey, Fong, how are you?
Very good.
All right, so, Tim, do you want to start? Because you sent out that ultrasound.
Sure. Just wanted to give everyone a brief update on our fetal ultrasound project. Charlie Goodlett flew in for this, and we were working with a veterinary radiologist and some veterinary internists that do ultrasound, and we were very pleased with what we were able to accomplish. I sent out just a few images for people to see, and this is just at first blush what we were able to generate, and I think we'll be, with more practice, we'll even be able to improve. And then also there is I sent out a copy of fetal ultrasound data sheet, and I'd like people to look at that. And these are measurements that we feel we can fairly consistently make, things like the ventricles and the corpus callosum were just things that we just really couldn't see. So there's nothing on there about them, but these other measurements we feel we can probably consistently make. And so our plan is, well, what we did was we looked at a series of animals ranging in gestation over a broad period, and we zeroed in on day 82 as being the most advantageous. Beyond 82, we get more and more reflection of image from ossification, and before 82, the structures aren't as prominent. So what our plan is to, for the our second project, the one where we'll have groups of animals that will be exposed to alcohol and choline, and all the necessary controls, that we will do a study on each of these animals at day 82 and collect these measurements. So we felt that that this was a very successful endeavor. Any questions at this point?
It seems like the measurements are going to be consistent with what Andy gets in the humans, so I was pleased.
Yeah, that of course is our template, and we were quite surprised that we could see some of these, and there could be that some of them we won't get on every animal, but we're reasonably optimistic.
Okay.
Jim, I have
82 is where.
No, Ward, the veterinary radiologist that really helped us is a very, very valuable asset to Tim. She was extraordinarily good.
And Tim, remind me again, where's 82 in terms of gestation length?
Okay, well, it's during second trimester equivalent, but very late, towards the end of the second trimester equivalent.
Okay, so that'd be consistent with what Andy's also doing. So, I mean, he gets them in the second and third, so.
Yeah, Feng Zhao, did you have a question?
I have an interesting point to bring it up to you. Over the sample that you sent, those brain stems, we have seen very significant difference. Being the male is larger than the female in the brainstem areas. I would that into consideration, tell the gender, and then whether those at that earlier stage, those structure volume would be any different, and then
I would, and I we will be able to generate the sex at the end, but. Probably not during the ultrasound study, but of no matter. Yeah, I think that we'll be able to look at that. So I have one other thing that I wanted to just ask both Fung and Kathy to think about. This was an idea of Charlie's that potentially it would be interesting form a study. Ultrasonography on these animals in anatomy as well, where we expose the conceptus to a single, not a single dose necessarily, but bracket the period of neurulation, gastrulation that would correspond to the day 7 mice, and then evaluate the results from that. And so I just wanted to mention that, Kathy and Feng Zhao, and see if they had any thoughts on that possibility.
I think that would be really interesting. It would make for some very nice comparisons to the sorts of things that we're doing in my lab anyway. And if you in fact can be, fairly precise, then exactly what that time is in the sheep, it would be fantastic.
We have to put our heads together, come up with that timing.
Yeah.
And come up with the best possible guess on the timing, and then bracket it. Perhaps, a 3 or 4, 5 day exposure that period. Something. Anyway, that would be what I'd propose.
That would be great.
That study, we would have to discover a way to fund that, but I just wanted people to think about that.
I think someone else just joined us a little bit ago.
Yeah, Michael Charnas, hi.
Hi, Michael, how are you?
Hey.
I had a question for Tim. The distances of orbital diameter, those are referring to the bone cavity in the orbit?
Yeah.
There was talk at the back in January about the size of the eyeball itself. Is that possible to get pulled out of this as well?
My naive thinking was that they would correlate together. I don't know that we'll be able to distinguish soft tissue And the eye, if the eye is different sized than the orbit, will be different sized, won't it?
I don't know. Kathy?
Well, you'd expect them to correlate, but you know, there's a lot of, at least in people, there's a lot of fat tissue between the eyeball and the orbit itself. But the size of the eye and the orbit should correlate, but in kids with fetal alcohol syndrome, a lot of them have not just small eyes, but abnormally shaped eyes, so that the eye...
Sorry, Kathy, abnormally what eye?
Shaped.
Shaped?
The eyeball is too long. They're highly myopic.
Okay.
So the eyeball is kind of egg-shaped rather than round.
Okay.
I also asked Elizabeth Sal if she could look at the size of the eye from her MRI. So... one transdisciplinary thing. All right, any other questions for Tim?
Ed, you've got a lot of static on your phone.
Yeah,
I got it.
No, hold on, let me switch your phone. Is that better?
No.
No.
Not either. So I just went to the lamp on. Unless it's just a bad phone today. Any other questions for Tim?
One more. Who's the image?
I can't hear anything.
Lost them.
Yeah. Fung?
Yes.
I could not hear you. Please.
Okay, the question is that the you have sent, those are mostly bony structure.
Right. Yeah, there are other images that are clearly soft tissue. For example, the cerebellum, we're able to resolution to the point where you can see gyri, and so I think that there are soft tissue structures that we can see, and I just threw three images randomly. I just tossed them off to Jill, to entertain you all some samples. But we can see, distinction between soft tissue. That is something that we can do. And again, we're going to try to improve our ability. With practice, and potentially we'll be able to use a more advanced machine. I'm going to try to get to a advanced machine that has a much higher frequency probe that could even further improve our resolution.
All righty. Well, thanks, Tim. Kathy, you want to tell us if there's any updates on your project?
I guess the most recent thing is that this morning we had a conference call with Peter Hammond, and he has just put together some preliminary data comparing our alcohol-exposed faces to control faces, and that preliminary data looks quite nice, but we need to get a lot more animals in every category. So anyway, just wanted to let you know that he's working very diligently on this project with us, and we had a real productive phone call this morning.
And I think that we have not received back from him, but we sent the contract so that he should be getting some funds for this now.
Okay, great.
All right, so that presumably happened this week.
Okay.
But I haven't seen any response yet from the University of London. So, all right. Well, that's encouraging because I'm hoping that that will help us out a lot in the diagnosis.
Yeah.
Fong, you want to update us?
We're continue to do, this is Li Shen's century-old analysis for the looking into the volume with his algorithms that pan out to be a very... consistently seeing the differences. So we'll continue to expanding that into a different group, and as well as go through the separate bone that we have, temporal bone, occipital bones, and we're going to the maxillary bone to see individual bone whether those are different as a consequence of the treatment. The other one is that we're going to begin to look into the brain volume. So at this point, we are still, stick with the sectioning, but we're going to be looking into any other possibilities as well. The other thing is that, Kathy, when those the brain structure that you have collected from MRI, whether those can be also, we were looking into the central analysis, the algorithm that we have produced for the bone structure. Perhaps those can also be looking to the brain structure of yours, in fact, accumulated from MRI with the separation of the brain parts.
So you want, look, I don't really understand totally what you're asking. Do you want us to provide all of the data from our individual animals so that you can reanalyze them?
Once if the algorithm work well, we would be interested to look at those prenatal fetal tissue.
Okay. So I guess I just... What is the objective of redoing this? I mean, we're happy to provide that data, I guess. It's a ton of...
It is very big, yes.
But I guess I don't really understand the objective of doing that.
I think the MRI that has collected is just in total in 3D, and if the algorithm that we have worked right now, it is also only limited to the 3D, which is the micro CT. If something can be worked on your side, I will be happy to do that.
Any questions for, and I should have asked after Kathy, for Kathy or Fung from Science Advisory Board or anyone else? All right, Jen, you want to tell us about what's going on with choline?
Yeah, so at this point we're generating more tissue for looking at the effects of the prenatal alcohol and different choline diets. So we're generating those animals right now. And we're also trying to, Jan and I are trying to connect with Steven Zeisel to see if he can give her some advice in terms of extracting the levels from the tissue. And she talked about some of the problems that she had been having when we had our meeting. And so since they've been able to do it successfully, we're trying to tap into to that them as a resource. And I haven't been successful yet.
Okay.
Steven travels like Carlton.
Yeah. And any more interactions with Tina on the human stuff? And
Not since our meeting. Not since our meeting.
Raj, I know you've been talking to Tina, so.
Yes, we had a conversation with Tina and Jan. In the intervening period, I'd talked to the Exicon folk, and we're trying to get our requirements for plasma down. And so there's some new methods that are coming out that we apparently can get down to a few hundred microliters, which would make a collaboration with Tina and the human study, the Ukraine study, much more feasible.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're going to look at getting permission, and I'm at the same time going to be setting up IRBs and such. And we're going to try a few samples, at least. But we won't know until about June, though. One of the things we need to be to wait for is the behavioral data and I guess the physiology data, where we make classify which samples we ought to look at. So that probably won't happen until June or so.
Okay.
But
and,
at least we can we're looking to implement ways that we can get down in terms of sensitivity. We don't have to use huge volumes. Like with Tim, we're using 6 mL of plasma from the sheep, which is apparently not doable.
Yeah, I talked to Tina about that and how much, and they're already drawing lots of blood over there, and so we don't want the kids to faint or the moms
That's
to
right,
faint.
That's right, yeah, that would be very bad for so many reasons.
So, yeah, but I think that the timeline that you're following seems reasonable, and so, but the work with Tim is still going forward?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Ed, this is John.
Yeah.
I apologize, but I have to leave. I have to go teach.
Oh, I'm sorry, John.
That's it.
As do I, Ed.
That's it.
And who was that?
Charlie.
Okay, Charlie. Take care.
Bye.
We'll be in touch.
All right. Any comments? We're just about finished. So.
I have a question, Ed, for Rajesh.
Yeah.
So, what kind of storage conditions do you need for the blood?
I'm sorry, you're dropping in and out. Could you repeat that?
Yeah. How does the blood have to be handled to preserve the microRNAs that you want to look at?
That turns out to be a really nice part of it. We've done some experiments in our lab, and from some of the papers, the blood can be the plasma or serum can be frozen and thawed repeatedly through several cycles, and it doesn't change the profile. And so if it's frozen samples, I prefer plasma just because we've gotten used to that, but frozen samples will work just fine. And if they have been samples that have been thawed out once or so, even though we've seen that you can do it two or three times, I would trust, maybe thawed out once.
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right, any other comments or questions from Science Advisory Board? Or?
Just for Raj. Raj, if the serum does thaw, but do you have some idea how long the mRNA will stay, stable for reproducible measures?
Oh, if it is thawed and remains thawed, I don't know. I'm assuming freeze thaw, where somebody puts it on ice to get an aliquot and then freezes it up again.
Okay.
If it's thawed and remains at room temperature, then I guess I'd be worried about that.
Yeah. I mean, but do you have a way to check the integrity of it as we do for mRNA?
Small RNAs are quite stable. It actually is surprising to me how stable they are. They must be in some sort of vesicle-type situation. And if we get some good samples of the human that we know are good, we can look at the profile of the highly expressed microRNAs, the relative abundance of the highly expressed microRNAs, cycle thresholds or things like that. And we can monitor that. So if something drops appreciably, then we should, we would be cautious about including that in the analysis, that sample in an analysis.
Okay.
All right. Jen and Jill, you said you had some comments on the web.
Well, one of the things that we were wanting to do is to put up people's pictures with their names, and we wanted to get some feedback as to whether people felt comfortable with that.
I guess I am. I'm okay with that kind of thing. My name and pictures are already out on the web, so it doesn't matter.
We thought it might be useful for, especially when new people come in, that they can see who's who. But again, some people may have concerns and privacy concerns.
This is.
Well, I think we'll just check and see who's already out there. You can Google everyone and see if their picture's already there, and if it is, then they shouldn't have a problem.
This is for the public side of the site, or Jen?
Well, we could keep it just to the private.
It boils down to what's the goal, purpose.
Yeah. I mean, we all know each other.
Well, if you don't think it's really necessary, we were just thinking that it might be nice more when we have turnover and new people coming and people who, for example, might be in the basic science and not know everyone who's working in the clinical and so forth. If you don't think it's necessary, then that's...
No, I don't think it's... I mean, I'm looking at pictures of Michael. He's on the web all over the place. Even a young Michael. My God.
Does it have a front and a side view?
God, are you
with,
young
with,
here?
With a yardstick in the back.
Wow. Okay. Were there any other things? I don't think that's a top priority. So, you said, were there other suggestions for the web, or was that it?
Well, we also wanted to ask if people are in their local news, and if there's something that we can post to the website. We Google everybody every once in a while, but if you know that you're the hot item of the month at your university, or if something comes out, just send us the link, and we can get that up on the website. It'll make it a little bit easier.
Okay, I agree that that's important to do. All right. Well, I have another announcement. Today is Jill's birthday.
Oh, so, Happy birthday, Jill.
Thank you.
He's like 26 or something.
Yeah.
Right. This is my 13th year here.
All right. So, are there any other comments from anybody before I get ready to head off to Washington? So, any Science Advisory Board or NIAAA comments?
Only that I'm very sorry I couldn't make the meeting in January.
Yeah, we missed you.
Yeah, I wasn't
glad to hear you're feeling all better and everything
else.
Good.
Thanks.
And I wanted to thank Michael. Michael's RSA symposium was accepted, I believe.
Yes, it was.
And so at least CFAS will be represented at one symposium. And I emailed Dr. Urbanek. I have not heard back from him, but I told him it was very important that he get in touch with you or get that thing submitted to the ISPR people. But again, I haven't had any more luck than you did.
Yeah, well, hopefully he'll respond to one of us soon.
All righty. Well, I want to thank you. Kathy, could you stay on for a second?
Yes.
I wanted to talk to you about that other issue.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody, and I'll see some of you tomorrow.
Yeah, see you soon, Ed.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, thank you.